Black Baseball Mixtape family, Flipper Boys here. We're in the booth. 2024, the season's already going. Have you gone through a couple games by now? If so, let me know your favorite ballpark food recommendations. I'm trying to switch it up. I'm usually a pretzel and beer guy, personally, but I hear that a lot of these parks are stepping up their offerings, and so I got to make sure that I keep everything fresh. That also includes the palate. We got a good show for you in just a moment, chatting with Coach Maiden, who is a former baseball scout that has decided to jump back into the foray of launching his own developmental baseball league to showcase African-American talent, a league of our own baseball, or ALU baseball. You'll like this one because Maiden has, and I asked him this on our interview about the different ways he has given to the game and why he continues to do so. A lot of us get frustrated or dismayed when we see a lack of black baseball players. And I ask him that, like, what does it mean to know there's work to be done, but still trying to find different ways to do it? Whatever your thoughts are about developmental ball, I'm sure you will enjoy it. But before we get into that, gotta give a big shout out to the sponsors and supporters of the Black Baseball Mixtape Show and the platform, Herencia 21. The Players Alliance, Stilo Sports, their contributions make this a possibility and reality. And if I've been telling you guys for weeks, if you have not checked out the Black Baseball Mixtape Discord, you are missing out. The fact is, as it's grown, it started off with a single channel, and now we have things going on for cool YouTube vids we see and the discussions around that. We also have our fantasy baseball teams rocking with that, so people can smack talk or talk about trades and all of that jazz. And of course, the general chat is really the town hall to bring up any and anything that piques your interest. Check it out, the Black Baseball Mixtape Discord. You will not be disappointed. But without any further ado, here's my chat with Coach Maiden from A League of Our Own Baseball. What's going on, Black Baseball Mixtape family? We are back in the booth, Flopo Boys here, asking the tough questions, sometimes mostly the fun questions about baseball and the African-American experience. I'm being joined by a man who's a former scout and a YouTube savant, and also one of the founders between ALU Baseball. Give it up for Coach Maiden. How's it going, sir?
It's going great. How's everything with you today?
I am doing okay. It's as we record this, opening week is on the horizon. My team, the Mets, are coming back. I can't wait to see how that turns out. But it's always a good time to be a baseball fan, for sure.
Well, baseball is my passion after 44 years.
Absolutely. And we'll get into all of that. But first things first, as you can see in the visual version of the podcast, you are in front of an ALU Baseball Step and Repeat. And this is why we got to connect, because I had saw that you are launching a League of Our Own Baseball. Can you tell me more about that and what that is?
Yes, sir. Well, a League of Our Own is a league that's designed to promote diversity in baseball. As I said, I've been involved with baseball for 40 plus years. I've scouted for 5 major league teams, coached college, high school baseball, done the travel baseball before it was travel baseball when we called it tournament ball back in the day. And I'm concerned because I see this game of baseball expanding, but I see a steady decrease of black players. Let me clarify that. United States born black players playing baseball on a major league level, on the collegiate level, and if they're not at traditionally all predominantly black high schools, they're not playing on the high school level. Right. So something has to change. So this is what we created, basically our own minor league baseball league called baseball, where we can develop baseball players with their raw talent and ability. After we finish developing those ball players from all over the United States, go to the front doorstep of Major League Baseball and say, here's a group of 100 African-American baseball players. Give them opportunity to play professional baseball.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing I told people about the idea of this, you know, League of Our Own, that's pretty cool, because there are a lot of black players that just don't really know where to put the next level of their skills. But I got to ask, as a former scout, I feel like scouts are into like going out and discovering on their own. Would that be seen as almost like a bit too easy to say, hey, check out this one league? Or would you rather have people say, hey, look, go to this town outside Jupiter, Florida to see this person? It's like a thrill of the hunt there.
Well, I mean, now baseball used to be where scouts charted their schedules and you went out to high school, college, and summer league games, and you frowned baseball players. As we said, we beat the sticks for those ball players that everybody didn't know about. Now, right. You have your high-profile guys, like Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds. When they come up high school, everybody knew about them. But right. There are hundreds of thousands of ball players that they don't know about, and scouts used to go out there and find those ball players. Now the game has come with these showcase and travel ball teams where supposedly, and I emphasize, suppose the best talents are on one team in one location, so the scouts beat the path to see those tournaments and those showcases. So this is what we're doing. We're bringing these ball players together at one site, developing them, but professional training and instruction, because yeah. The knock on black players is they have the talent, really, but they raw. They 2 to 3 years behind to develop ball players. Mm-hmm. So we go develop them and give them opportunity to be seen.
And so you're saying the phrase that black kids don't play baseball is a myth.
It's a myth. I mean, hundreds and thousands of kids are playing baseball a year. Baseball is dying in the black community, but it's dying in all communities, really.
Yeah. What do you think that is? Why do you think the lack of cool factor for the new kids are, and there's other things to play and all that stuff?
Well, I mean, there's many questions that everybody throw out that myth that it's basketball. We're losing the basketball because Michael Jordan came and got all, you know, kids were playing basketball and football well before then. I think there's several points. Number one, when you play high school football and basketball, you draw the student body out to see you play. Friday mm-hmm. night football is really big in a lot of these small towns.
Sure.
When you play basketball, they come out to see you. But you play baseball, it's at the end of the high school season, so you're not really drawing a crowd. They're not getting the opportunity. They don't see the opportunity to go on and play at the collegiate level. You know, back in the day, it was Arizona State, LSU were the big baseball programs, and then you had Southern and Grambling, your HBCs. But now HBCs, which is historically black colleges, black players are not even getting a chance to play there. You got white players getting scholarships, HBCs as minorities. You got the Hispanic. So black players are being shed out of HBCs. So they have nothing to look forward to. And we definitely know that the decline of Major League Baseball is down to 2%. Mm-hmm. So they have nothing to look forward to. So this is what this independent / minor league developmental league that we're proposing, the league of all, will give them something to look forward to. In high school, hey, man, I'm going to go play in a league of our own. I'm going to get seen. I'm going to get noticed. And if nothing else, I'm going to get my shot at playing this game on a professional level if it have to be at the league of our own.
And talk to me more about the model of the league. Is it like hub-based where you're playing out of one major city, or is it going to be like nationwide teams where teams travel from squad to squad?
Well, the concept of this league was make us unique and different. We're going to have one site where all the teams play at one site, kind of like tournament ball, where if you have six teams, you have 3 9-inning games each day, and those teams will play. So it cuts down on travel, have to have buses to get the team back and forth, it cut down on hotels. It cut down on your expenses, so it makes the league a lot more affordable.
Sure. When you say affordable, like, are you talking about for owners or the players? Is it a buy-in league, or is it?
Well, it's a non-for-profit, so we go out to grants and donations to fund the league, so it's not, investors. It's not that type of league. But when you say affordable, again, it's very expensive to take a coach bus from Chicago to Indiana.
Right,
It's very expensive. Yeah. Very expensive to house 30, 40 players and coaches when you go away for a four-game trip. But if you got them all based at one site where you got a base of local players and non-local players, which, you know, you'll just be out there housing for accommodating the non-local players, that cuts down on your expenses.
Well, you know, a couple months ago on the Black Baseball Mixer podcast, we had Cash Shake, who has helped launching Baseball United, which is that professional baseball league in the Middle East. And he was saying how the difficulties of launching a league of baseball just anywhere in the world. And we've seen leagues try. I'm sure you're familiar with the National Urban Professional Baseball League as well, how it launched and had its struggles. I think when it comes to launching anything new, there's always the voices from the peanut gallery saying this won't work. So I got to ask you, what have people been saying about ALU? What are you doing to ensure its future past season one, past season two? And what do you look to see the league grow as it goes on?
Well, let me say this. First of all, about 5 years ago, full disclosure, we did launch a professional independent baseball league down in Mississippi. We had to fold the league after 30 days because, again, we had commitments for sponsorship and partners that didn't come through. And we got down there and we thought because we were an all-black city, we would have the gate and the concession to sustain ourselves. And it didn't happen. It was a perfect storm that we never envisioned that hit us.
Sure.
So we wound up having to fold the league. And, of course, anytime you fold the league, you got narrow-minded people that think, oh, well, they stole the money, they're skipping town. But, you know, when you've been in 40-plus years, you didn't heard all that before anyway. So you just keep moving. But what we did differently, we reorganized, brought on some more groups to work with us. And as I mentioned, we did it under our not-for-profit. We're supposed to going after investors. We can go after donors and grant funding to sustain the league. And what we're doing this time is we're like travel ball, there's a fee to play. So the guys will pay. This gives us our seed funding to sustain the league until we bring on sponsors and donors and underwriters. And then we can either scholarship players and or eliminate or reduce the fees from there.
Yeah.
So that's how we do it. And yeah, you got your naysayers, you know, but again, it got to start somewhere, and there's a market out there for it. There's a market, you know, and my experience in professional sports and in sports game in the African-American community, let me rephrase that, in the black community, we turn over $3 trillion in this American economy. Mm-hmm. The black church turns over $800 billion in this American economy.
Wow.
Yet in professional sports, they have not figured out how to tap into the black dollar. That's why we have no value to them in reality on the professional level, on a collegiate level for baseball. Yet in football and basketball, you see on the collegiate level and a professional level, we are valued to them. So therefore, you see us turn on the NCAA tournament. You see all brothers. You see predominantly brothers out there. Mm-hmm. Go to football, college football, predominantly brothers out there. Look at the money they're making. So they haven't figured out how to tap into that $3 trillion in wealth that flows through the black community.
Yeah,
we have a mechanism to tap into it because we know there's hundreds of thousands of black ball players out there. And the league is not limited to only black, but our focus is on black ball players that want to play baseball, that don't have opportunity, that leave discouraged or frustrated, and don't know that there's an opportunity like a league of our own on the horizon. And that's what we're here to share with your audience and to form that network to get the word out.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to ask, though, because with your experience being a scout and knowing what teams need at a certain time or even seeing what the potential a team can need in the future, what kept you from being jaded? Like, of seeing the decline up close of black players being selected in drafts. What made you just go, forget it, I quit. But you said, no, I'm going to try to do this league instead.
It's that passion that burns in me for the game and, more importantly, for black players. I mean, I'm in major league locker rooms. I'm on major league fields, and I see the decline of African-American baseball players. I mean, matter of fact, just for this show, I looked it up this morning. Out of 30 major league teams, you know there's only, excuse me, out of 30 major league teams, you know there's only 35 United States-born black baseball players that's going to be on a major league roster as an opening day tomorrow.
Wow, 35. Wow.
35 major league black major league baseball players out of 780 players.
Wow.
And let me give you this number too. There's only 9 black players in all of major league baseball that's going to be on the 2004 roster as of today. There are no black catchers. There's 8 black infielders, 16 black outfielders, 2 DHs. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. Well, that's a reason, a whole other issue why there's a lack of black catchers out there and why there seems to be a lot more outfielders. I feel that's a very, very concerted effort, especially at the youth ball league, to go out to the outfield because, you know, you're strong, you can run real fast and all that stuff. But, and it's kind of a interesting statistic there. That's like less than a seventh. I mean, that's less than, I don't know, less than 100. 2%.
Less than 2% of the game. Mind you, last year they said it was 3%. So,
right.
Steady decline.
Well, there seems to be a new wave coming, or is that this perception that there seems to be a lot more black kids now, the Gen Z and Gen Alpha generation taking baseball back up, or is that just something that looks like marketing at this point.
Marketing. It's a marketing. I mean, you know, and I tell people about 12 years ago or somewhere in that time frame, Major League Baseball began to take a lot of heat about the decline of African-American baseball players playing baseball. And they created this think tank, bringing the major league owners and baseball personnel together to figure how we're going to increase and get more blacks in baseball. Mm-hmm. And they came up with this nationwide movement that say we would go invest in black baseball players. So they created these urban academies and urban inner city programs and this and that. And if you and baseball is driven by data, sports, stats and numbers.
True.
Look at their statistics. They have not increased black players, not one iota, since they came up with these breakthrough series and these urban initiatives to quote unquote get blacks, more blacks involved, but they give you the perception because Major League Baseball urban program is running a 3-day clinic down in Mississippi, down in Florida for kids 13, 14, 15 years old. And you don't see them no more after them 3 days. So to next year. Right. So what is a three? You know as well as I do, if you hungry and your family hungry, I come in and provide you a spread. All mm-hmm. you can eat a feast for 3 days. What do you go do for the next 362 days?
Think about that feast I had.
So that I mean, that's man, a myth. I tell you.
Yeah.
That's a myth. That's a marketing tool to say we got all these programs going on to increase the numbers. Just look at their data and their statistic. It has not put one more black player in the major leagues.
I just feel like there was a time, though, where there were a lot of us that played in the 80s, in the early 90s, I think, right until trading card collapse at that time, that there was another everyone had a black favorite player at one time. What did change then, did you think? Was it rule? Was it policy? Was it just bad contracts? Like, why do you think the decline started then?
Well, it's not the contracts. Again, that's the myth. And being around the game, you hit a myth that the Latin players are taking over the game because they're more hungry for it and this and that. Well, you know, I take issue with that because when you get to the major leagues, the minimum you can make in the major leagues is $500,000, $500,000. That's the minimum to be on a major league roster. So how are you more hungry? And you become millionaires when you get in the major leagues. At 2-3 years, you make it $5-6 million. The myth is that I don't know where it's lost at. All I can tell you is before Jackie Robinson, there was a gentleman's agreement that Major League Baseball did not sign black players. Mm-hmm. Wasn't on no paper. It was a gentleman's agreement. And all I know is since Jackie Robinson, 77 years ago, broke the color barrier and made 1% of the players in Major League Baseball black. Mm-hmm. Now, 77 years later, only 2% is black. Right. Now, you know, that has to be a conscious decision somewhere from the top structure of the organization to say, we're not interested in having black players in our program because you can't tell me that you can't find black players out there that have the talent and ability to play Major League Baseball.
And you're not discouraged at all about this. You're just like, you know what? That's the difficulty is you're going to find a way to win anyway and still play ball, so to speak, and try to craft the next generation of players.
It's about the money, you know. It's mm-hmm. with Major League. It's about the money. Mm-hmm. I'm not discouraged. Yeah, I'm a little frustrated because I see black people want to play baseball,
absolutely,
and have that ambition. And you know, now I will, in defense of Major League Baseball, not to justify them, but in defense of Major League Baseball, the thing that they won't talk about is the fact that, you know, in order to have players to play in the major leagues, you got to have a pool to draft players from. You don't have black players playing on the collegiate level. Go to your top NCAA schools and those teams that's in the College World Series. You count on one hand, if any, the black players that's on those teams. Mm-hmm. Go to those non-black high schools and you can count, if best, you got one or two black players on the team. They usually the designated pinch runner. So they're not playing high school. They're not playing college. And even with this expensive craziness of $3,000-$4,000 to play travel ball, you still only got one or two black players on the team. So yeah. Black players not given an opportunity.
Sure.
And Major League Baseball won't. Well, I've heard one high-ranking Major League Baseball official comment on that just in a general conversation that, you know, nobody's talking about the fact that college, they're not playing on college, so we don't have anything to draft from. So again, this is why it becomes important to stop crying over spilled milk. Stop crying over spilled milk. Stop talking about last year that was 3% and this year that's 2%. The question is, what are we going to do from here? We're going to create our own minor league structure, a league of our own, develop our own ball players, and then we challenge Major League Baseball just like they hold these trials in these Latin countries, and they have baseball academies in these third world countries that are basically developmental leagues and their own private minor league team to develop these ball players. And look at what has flourished over the last 10, 20 years, a dominant of Latin players taking over the game. We go do the same thing. We go create a dominance of African-American baseball players to revive Major League Baseball with African-American baseball. That's the result. Not to get frustrated, not to cry, not to whine no more.
Sure.
That's about how we go move forward.
I mean, whining is my jam, but I understand if you do.
I'm speaking to the audience in general.
I love whining. Yeah. Whining is my thing, man. I love it. I was talking to a little baseball coach, man. So also, I've been checking out your YouTube page, and while your league is growing from the background, I see you out there with the microphone, chatting with people all across the major leagues, cheesing in front of the cameras, sampling the food in Chicago. Man, walk through that life. How is it being a content creator in baseball?
Well, again, it's all woven together. I mean, like I said, I've been in 40 plus years, and I've been covering major leagues now 18 seasons. Like I said, coach college ball. And I mean, in some places, I'm just love them or hate them. I'm just a fixture in baseball, especially in the African-American community. And I'm trying to expose the game. Not only do we want to offer these guys opportunity to play baseball, we want them to understand the power of entrepreneurship.
Absolutely.
We want them to be in front of the camera. We want to teach them, as a part of being in this program, how to produce their own shows, how to do podcasts. I mean, that podcast is as big as being on ESPN. You get your big enough following, you can do very well.
Absolutely.
So we want to educate them to that. Not only that, we want to educate them to their front office opportunities in professional sports, not just Major League Baseball. And I might add as well, when we talk about the decline of black ball players in Major League Baseball, you know there's only one black umpire in all of Major League Baseball.
Really? I didn't know that.
The one, I think his name is C.J. Buckner. I met him some years ago, but unless something changed. Now, I've done that research in a few years, but he was the only one. And you got to keep in mind, if you got 30 Major League teams, you got 15 games being played on any day, with four umpires on the field. So that's 60 umpires. Yeah. Plus you got them doing the replay camera. You got standbys and this and that. So you got roughly probably about 100 major league umpires at any given time that's on a major league payroll, and there's only one brother.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is a top-down situation. And I love the fact you mentioned that about the content side, because I got into the baseball content about a year and a half ago, well, almost 2 years ago, doing this and going to different ballparks and doing like the green book tours around the cities that these ballparks are. And it's so much fun, because I do think there's a human side that does, it gets missed. It's kind of like athletic black people sports. You know what I mean? When LeBron James has an opinion, shut up and play your sport, athlete. But there's more to that. There's families. There's like dreams. There's people who love their cities. I think that's pretty fun too. So yeah, I was watching the one about you hanging out with the Chicago White Sox, which is my second favorite team. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's out here checking out, shaking hands. It's pretty cool, man.
Well, you know, again, I'm a baseball fan, and it's a pleasure and opportunity. And you know, when you start talking about black baseball, all of a sudden you got that other crowd that don't look like us. Well, why do we need black baseball? Why do we do this? And I tell people, I'm colorblind. Yeah. I see people as just people. I've been around this game a long time. I've coached white kids, coached Hispanic kids, I coached not Nicaraguans. And I just want to see kids have an opportunity to play baseball. And I'm a people person. You know, when I see these major league players, when you covering these guys, you're around them, especially the home team. You're not a part of the team, but at the same time, you are a part of the team, because they treat me with respect. When they see me, they call me coach. Mm-hmm. If I, you know, back when I was coaching and covering, and I was on the road for a week or 2 weeks with my team, when I walk around, hey, coach, where you been? We ain't seen you. And you know, you done left us this and that. You get this from the major league guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, I cherish you guys. And like I say, I'm a people person. You know, I'm not a racist. I'm not this and that, and I don't come across that way. I'm just trying to promote Black baseball and keep Major League Baseball going strong, because it's great. But there's other avenues out there to success other than playing on the major. Some guys make a career out of minor league ball.
Yeah, right. Kind of a complex question. So did you, your favorite team as a fan, and did you have a favorite team as a scout, or does it matter?
Well, I probably ain't supposed to say this, because I grew up a diehard Cubs fan.
Okay.
Especially can't let the White Sox do this, but I must admit, I did grow up a diehard Cubs fan. You know, back in the day, Keeman, Barry Foote, and Rick Russell days. So you didn't hear me say that, though.
I totally did. No, I'm flipping out. That's still the same. It hasn't changed. Hasn't wavered the entire time. You're just like locked in. And the reason why I say that, because as a kid, I'm a Mets fan through and through. But before I was 11, the leagues were split. So my AL team was the Chicago White Sox, because they never played each other. They didn't really play until the mid 90s. And Frank Thomas was that guy. So I don't know if he had a second team or anything. So,
yeah. I mean, we travel. Like I said, we'd have been somewhere everywhere playing baseball through the years.
Yeah.
You know, Midwest to the West Coast, overseas. And during that time, I was die-hard Cubs fan, and my coaches was die-hard White Sox fans.
So, oh, wow.
Arguments. Oh, on the road, we had some arguments back in the day.
Right.
But I don't know. I've always been, I guess, to me, I've always been a National League fan more than American League fan.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a different level of strategy there. Quick question. Favorite baseball movie, and then we'll get back to Elu in a second. Favorite baseball movie?
Wow, I guess I never thought about that.
There's so many. Comedies, dramas, Bull Durham, Mrs. 3000. A League of Our Own.
I don't know. You have to come back on there, but I never thought about it.
Okay. So Elu looks like it's going to be ramping up this season, so people can try out this year. What can they expect when they do decide to take that jump into a whole new vision for baseball?
Well, again, the trials are open for local, national, and international ball players. The trial format is the same as the Major League trial. We'll take them through the 60, the hitting, where we're 60 is evaluate speed, which used to be the standard, 6'9 or better. I don't know about this new era evaluation. Oh, I see guys running 7.45, 7.6. You didn't make it back in the day.
Right.
But it's a different thing. And then we'll take them through hitting, which is where you evaluate the bat speed, which is how quick the barrel of the bat get through the strike zone, which tell if you can hit up a velocity pitching. And then power, which determines if you hit the ball out of the ballpark. We'll do fielding, where we have all the outfielders to throw from right field to home plate, where you judge their arm strength, how they round the ball, they get the weight behind the ball, and then put all infielders at shortstop, and we evaluate their range. We hit them like 4 or 5 balls, one at them, one to the left, one to the right, and a slow roll in front of them, where we judge their footwork, their body control, you evaluate the tools of their fielding based on that, because shortstop, the hold in shortstop is the longest throw in the big leagues, and you evaluate their range, and then we take the pitchers and we evaluate their velocity, velocity more so than velocity. We want to see the movement on their pitches, all speed changeups, the various speeds. And then with catchers, you're looking at pop time, where 1.9 used to be the average pop time, I guess it's still in that ballpark. And their footwork, I don't know about these catchers today that's catching with a man on first base and they down on one knee. That's it.
Right.
That didn't happen 20, 30 years ago, but again, I'm tested.
Right.
So
right.
Those are the evaluations that we'll go through, and then we would select the top players. And we would have 20 to 24 players on a team, and we would assign them to a team, and they would be ready to go.
I got to give it up to you. I mean, of all the years and decades you dedicated to it, like I said, people would have said, I'm over it. You're not doing it. You had an attempt. It didn't work the way you want to, and you're back again. And I hope the biggest success for you, because the more places that we can be seen means more places that we can work, either on the field or up there in the front office and everything. So if I want to support Elu, but I don't play because I'm old and unathletic, how'd I go about doing that? I want to support the brand.
Well, they can go on our website at a league of our own 247.com. We got a donation link. And, you know, we're looking for the Black community to embrace this league because that's how we survive. That's how we make sure we don't fold the league like we had to do a few years back. You know, of those, you know, some, you know, $100, $500,000, maybe some out there, $10,000, and write it off as it's a tax. We're going to send you a letter of acknowledgement of your gift, and you can write it off on your taxes. And I forgot to mute my phone, so forgive me. You can write it off on your taxes, and that's how we sustain ourselves. And we have, you know, the biggest drawback I got with people that look like us, we don't support a thing.
Sure.
We'll watch it, we'll see it, we won't support, but when you get other expressions, guys that was a part of a program, they come back and they donate. They come back and give, they come back, support. They like the cause, so they get behind. And that's the mindset we gotta change for people that, yeah, this league sounds good, it sounds great. And, you know, when these press releases go out, I get a lot of former Negro League players from all over the country calling me, say this long overdue, you're a God sent this net. But I tell people, they never say, where can I send you a check?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go to buy those uniforms, guess what? You got to pay for
them. Sure.
When that umpire walk out on that field, coach, you're doing a great job, but where's my check for umpire? Baseballs cost money. The bats cost money. They don't understand. And you can't even pay. You can't even live in the house without paying your rent.
Right. I tried. They kicked me out. It's crazy. Now, I hear what you're saying. A lot of times there is not – there's that like that seat, the visionary side. Like there's like your friends will look at you and go, if it's successful, and they want to buy in and have it expand. But the first push always feels almost Sisyphean, like almost like you're trying to push this boulder uphill to get our community to buy in. But I always say, if it does well, there's always going to be guys hitting you up going, I see you, brother, and you know you're on your right way. So props to that, my friend. Coach Maiden, man, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate talking to you about the league. Is there anything we want to talk about, final thoughts about the league, things we can sign up, things we can donate, people can look forward to see this year? Hit me.
Well, just go on our website, a league of our own, 247.com, or if you're like me, I'm not per se a social media person. 205-264-1468. Just give us a call, coach. Yeah, and we've had some people to reach out. What can we do? I want to be a part of this. We need more of that. And spread the word to all those ball players out there that want to play baseball. Here's the opportunity.
And the YouTube channel. What's up with the YouTube channel?
The YouTube channel, A League of Our Own. A League of Our Own Baseball. You go to the channel. I told you I got to do all that. I edit all those terms on social media, but yeah, you can find us on the League of Our Own. We have our own website. Or just Google it. It'll come up. We got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We got a website. So just Google us. It'll come up. A League of Our Own. Now you may get that, the movie A League of Our Own. So you may want to put a Lou Baseball in there.
Sure.
And you're most likely to pop up because, you know, it's a .org that comes up, but we're .com.
Right. And for the White Sox, we're going to put it on the board. Yes.
You can put it on the board.
In the booth, Hubba Boys, Black Baseball Mixtape family. Thanks for tuning in.